Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you so much for sending your perfect Son, our God and King, to make the payment, to be the propitiation, that we might even have the privilege to call you our Father. We come in the name of your perfect Son, our God and King, Jesus, Yeshua. There is no other name given under heaven by which men might be saved. We come in his name. Thank you for making a way, and Jesus certainly is the way. Lord Yeshua, we thank you for visiting with your people, for setting a day apart when we might know and even experience your presence in a special way. In your presence is fullness of joy. Thank you for commanding that we remember to keep holy the Sabbath day. You are the Holy One of Israel. That means you want to visit with us if we might find the faith to receive a blessing beyond comprehension. In your presence is fullness of joy, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. The trumpet is sounding. We're in the days of awe. And we wonder, Lord, how we shall endure to the end. And we know we must endure to the end of this Antichrist war on the saints. It will be through the strength that you provide as we find our joy in you, knowing you. The effect of every vision is now at hand. Lord, you know I've tried to be faithful. You know that I've spoken without hesitation those things that you've given me to say. Been mocked, scorned, scoffed, ridiculed, and I delight in it. One thing that I do delight and rejoice about is when you give something to speak. It doesn't change with time. We might have given warnings early, but better to give the warning early than to give it late. And I do rejoice that other men that you have called and promised to raise up in this time as faithful shepherds, like Brother Scott and others, are now confirming that the effect of every vision is now at hand. I think the vast majority of even your people, Lord, have missed the significance of the Gaza expulsion. It's a violation of your command to your people Israel to make no covenant with those who would be in submission to Satan, the moon god Allah, and give any inch of that promised land that Israel was to possess for you to give it away. And yet, thank you for letting us know that Gaza would be forsaken. Thank you for letting us know how significant that was when we could see the bigotry and the audacity and the hypocrisy of the followers of Satan in the religion of Islam, having apartheid at every turn, believing that all who are not submitted to Satan as they are somehow subhuman. For letting us see the Muslim definition of peace when their God would have them kill every human not in the bondage of Islam. I don't even call it a religion, Lord. It's a psychosis. And when they would kill everyone who's not a Muslim, that they would kill each other. The Shiites have to kill the Sunnis, and the Sunnis have to kill the Shiites. And when every human being is dead, then we have the Muslim definition of peace. But you're calling your people. And this is the season when you invite your people. It's not a call to everybody, and we don't want to miss that call. Lord, help us to hear your voice clearly, because we do know that the effect of every vision is now at hand, and we don't want to be among those who miss your final call. We don't know if this is a final call, but we don't want to miss your call if it's a final call or not. But Lord, you know, as I went through the minor prophets again this year, every single one of them seem to be saying. Whoever's unjust, let him be unjust still. And whoever's righteous, let him be righteous still. We can only be righteous as we are in you. You are our righteousness. All of our righteousness is just self-righteousness, filthy rags. But you are our righteousness. But I heard your prophet saying, whoever is filthy, let him be filthy still. And whoever is holy, let him be holy still. You are the Holy One. You make holy by your holy presence. And we joy and delight and rejoice in your presence. Hallelujah, Yeshua. We thank you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Betty says amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's talk about these days of awe. There's really only one biblically required fast day. However, the saints scattered abroad are being tested. If you don't feel like you're being tested and tried, just wait a little bit. Because the test and the trial and the tribulation is coming to your front door. What's it about? Why do we feel this pressure? We're being refined. The trying of our faith is going to produce steadfastness. And we are being purified, being refined by these fires of tribulation. And many saints scattered abroad do understand now the days of awe. These truly are days of awe. The Bible speaks about a fast of the fifth month. That's the ninth of Av. It's a day of tragedy throughout all history, beginning when the men brought back an evil report. And the majority report is just about always wrong. Mark it down. Don't be in the majority, because the majority is going to hell. Jesus said there would be few that would be saved. The majority report on that evil day, the ninth of Av, outnumbered the report of faith from Joshua and Caleb, who gave the good report of faith. The people of God received an evil report regarding the promised land, and all except Joshua and Caleb died in the wilderness. I want you to think about that. It's important. All these things were written for our admonition and for our example, upon whom the ends of the world have come. All who received the evil report on the ninth of Av did not enter the promised land, even though they had been called, they had been chosen, they saw the signs and wonders as witnesses of God's manifest power, and they were even baptized with the baptism of Moses through the Red Sea. They were the called, chosen, signs and wonders, witnesses of God's almighty power, baptized with the baptism of Moses at the Red Sea, and they all died in the wilderness. Don't forget that. It's never too early to seek God's grace and repentance. So those people that somehow fasted on Rosh Hashanah, praise the Lord. Nothing wrong with that. It's never too early to seek God's grace and repentance. One can only be too late in diligently seeking His grace, which is only found in repentance. That's the evidence. The grace of God is found in repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way. A lot of ways to hell. One way to be saved. And the 10 days that begin with the Feast of Trumpets and conclude with Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, are called the Days of Awe. And I do believe that the Days of Awe in 2005, with that Gaza expulsion, began what I would consider to be continuing days of awe. And he said it would be like travail, and certainly I think we see that. Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, the 10th day of the 7th month, is the only biblically required fast day. Now, those who have difficulty in fasting because of blood sugar problems, fruit juice is a real good answer for that. But there is a biblically required fast day. And I think if you ask most Christians, what day is the only day that the Bible requires us to fast? There's only one day that is required to fast in the Bible. I think most Christians would probably say Good Friday, wouldn't they? I've checked this out. I know it's true. Good Friday? Well, he was crucified on Wednesday. So Good Friday, I don't know what they think is good about Good Friday. I don't see much good about that because he was crucified on Wednesday. He was crucified on Wednesday, Nisan 14 in 30 A.D. Nisan 14, Wednesday, 30 A.D. is the day he was crucified. And 3 days and three nights later, on Saturday, the Sabbath, on the Sabbath, Nisan 17 in 30 A.D., he was resurrected. Before dark, on Saturday, the Sabbath, Nisan 17, he was resurrected. The only biblically required fast day is Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. And for those who know the Messiah, those who know the Savior, and what our Savior did for us, what our great King did for his people, how he was crucified on a Roman cross for the crime, the official crime of being King of the Jews, and a Jew is a God-pleaser. For those who know the one crucified for the crime of being King of the Jews, how much more reason do we have to observe, biblically observe, the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, than any Jew who does not know his Messiah yet? Well, that's one of the good things I think we have to look forward to, and I hope it happens during these days of awe this year in 2011. We're now in a continuing season of repentance, and the 10 days of awe begin with the Feast of Trumpets, and this feast is the call to repentance, and it celebrates the day of the return of the King of Kings to tread out the winepress of the wrath of God Almighty and set up his millennial reign of righteousness where Satan will be bound for 1,000 years. And the Feast of Trumpets is the only feast of the Lord which of that day and hour knoweth no man, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. The Feast of Trumpets is a celebration of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, his second coming. And he's not coming three times. There's no third coming in the Bible. There is no secret pre-tribulation rapture. We must endure to the end. The resurrection, the rapture, and the Lord's return is a single simultaneous event that happens on the last day. There's only one first resurrection. And four times, just in John chapter 6 alone, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us the resurrection is on the last day. Paul tells us it's at the last trump, on the last day. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. But I am thankful that there are other confirming witnesses now. We may have been a little bit early in calling to repentance, but I sure would rather be early than late on that one. But we are now, and many other faithful watchmen, faithful shepherds, many of them are now proclaiming that indeed we are in the continuing days of awe, a continuing season of repentance. And these 10 days of awe have always been important, but never more important than this year. And the Feast of Trumpets is the call to repentance and celebrates the return of the King of Kings to tread out the winepress of the wrath of God Almighty. A lot of people forget that, but he's going to set up his millennial reign of righteousness, and Satan will be bound for 1,000 years. And I think every saint scattered abroad, if they truly are a saint and truly knew the Holy One of Israel, has their soul vexed daily by what we see going on about us and around us as we walk soberly and circumspectly in this world today. So we long for this return of the King of righteousness. Brethren, we're not supposed to have this judgment of God rising up in wrath overtake us as a thief, the way it's going to overtake the world. If you don't know what to look for and how to know how to count down the days, for goodness sake, for your own sake, and for Christ's sake, listen to that countdown message. Listen to it until you can explain it to anyone, because God wants his people to know this day of the Lord is going to come upon the world like a thief in the night, but you, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. And these 10 days of awe wrap up with the only biblically required fast day, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. And these 10 days are a reminder about the last call, the final call to find the grace and mercy of God in repentance. That's the evidence. Returning to God, coming into agreement with God, to be able to receive his mercy. That's what this season of these 10 days of awe, beginning with the Feast of Trumpets and concluding with this fast of the seventh month, it's all about. Repentance is central to the gospel. If you don't have repentance in the gospel, well, it's another gospel. There's only one gospel that is the one and only true gospel, and repentance must be central in that. Jesus Christ died for sinners and was raised again for our justification. If thou shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It is repentance and faith. Repentance is not a dirty word. Repentance, though, it's supernatural. It is impossible for any vain creature, and we're all vain creatures, apart from the grace of God. It is the evidence of finding the grace of God. Who needs to repent? Me and you need to repent. And for whom is it impossible to repent? Who will find it impossible to repent? Me and you will find it impossible to repent apart from the grace of God. You see, it's all from him, through him, and to him. It's all by grace. But the evidence is this thing called repentance. Yes, God, you're right. I'm wrong. Oh, God, thanks for showing me. Yes, you're right. I'm wrong. Do we have aught against anyone? Who is it that's done us so wrong and have been so dirty to us that we just really don't want to forgive them? Know anybody like that? Ask God for help on that one, because we cannot walk in forgiveness and unforgiveness at the same time in these 10 days of awe. That's one thing saints ought to be doing. Is there anybody that has aught against me? Or do I have aught against anyone? Let's get it straight. Let's ask forgiveness. Let's put the ball in their court. Let's ask forgiveness. And it's up to them. If they're Christians, they don't have much choice when the ball is in their court. And now, I want to share with you a confirming word from Brother Scott regarding how we are now in a continuing days of law where we are called to draw nigh to God. This is a message we just received, a word in season, very timely word, from Brother Scott Ryubia. Hallelujah. Brother Scott.
A call to prayer and consecration. To be consecrated means to become dedicated for a sacred purpose. And what I find interesting is this will more or less overlap the 10 days of awe, which begins on Rosh Hashanah, which is, I believe, September 29th. It begins sunset of September 28th, which is, of course, Feast of Trumpets begins. And for 10 days from that day is what the nation of Israel practices every year and have for thousands of years as called the Days of Awe. And the Days of Awe is a period of prayer and repentance for yourself and for your nation. It has some very significant meaning for the people of Israel, the Orthodox people of Israel that fear God. Based on what I'm going to share with today, I hope that you can join in because it's right in the flow of what you've heard others say here today. Now, if you'll read with me Isaiah chapter 55, starting in verse 1, let's read this together. I believe it's the entire chapter from 1 to verse 13. Starting in verse 1, it says, read with me, "Ho! Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money. Come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, because it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Now turn with me to the last book in the Bible, Revelation, and to its chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. The Lord here is speaking to the Laodiceans. It's the last of the seven churches that he speaks to. He speaks the most harshly to it because they have gone astray the farthest. The word Laodicean has in its root meaning a people that are just and right in their own eyes. Let me say that again. The church of the Laodiceans, the word Laodicea comes from some words that mean they were a people that were just and right in their own eyes. That's very different than in the eyes of God. So if you would read with me verses 14 through 22. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. And as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, I ask that for those that are still sitting here with plugged ears, that you'd open their ears this morning. It will make a difference. Lord, with those that have blinders on or have scales over their eyes. Lord, would you give them sight today, spiritual sight? Father, would you take the ground of our heart and quickly, efficiently, plow it up so that we can receive the word? Because as it says here, your word shall not return void. Lord, we want your word planted deeply in our hearts that we might benefit from all that it will do within us and through us. Father, we ask for your blessing upon our message today, that whomever hears it, Lord, would be come to understand what the message is and adjust their life, if it's not already, to live according to the word that we'll share today. I pray for your glory and praise. For the time is short, Lord. The time is very short. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe completely that we are at the leading edge. That's the front edge, that which comes first. I believe completely that we are at the leading edge of great trouble that will encompass not only our country, but the entire planet very soon. We see a lot about hurricanes in these days. Hurricane Irene has just come and gone, and they're still trying to figure out how to straighten things out, fix things, repair things, restore things that were destroyed, and that was only a Category 1 hurricane. Now there's Hurricane Lee that's hitting the Gulf Coast of our United States, and out in the Atlantic coming this way at a Category 1 status is Hurricane Katia, or Katia, I think they're calling it, and it is threatening the Bahamas, but they think that it might strike the United States, and we've just had, of course, Hurricane Irene not more than 2 weeks ago, if it's been that. But the thing about a hurricane, I've never lived through one. I have family in Florida that have to contend with them from time to time. But the thing about a hurricane that I do understand is long before it gets there, it's got arms. It's got what they call rain bands, which are big circular type air movements with clouds and lots of rain. And before the hurricane ever gets there, wherever there is, wherever you're living, you begin to see these rain bands come over the land. And they bring with them winds, and they bring with them some rain. Certainly not in the power and force that the main hurricane brings, but it's the advance weather system of sorts that comes ahead of a hurricane. We can see now, if you're astute, if you're looking, if you're listening, if you're watching, we have a hurricane coming upon our country and the planet, a hurricane of sorts, and we can see the rain bands even now beginning to stir up the wind and drop water upon the land in the things that we're seeing. Many things are queued up and waiting in the wings. Things that will cause instant, meaning overnight, changes in everything we've known and have loved about our way of life here in our country. Unfortunately, the effects of these coming events will trickle down all the way to our very homes and touch even our families. What's coming? Such things in line to happen involve the U.S.'s and the world's financial systems and the availability and cost of basic food, shelter, housing, fuel. I was shocked yesterday. I've been enjoying fuel prices at $3.60 or so. I wasn't even paying attention, and I pulled in to fill up my tank, and I didn't even pay attention. I gave the man the money, ran out, and stuck the thing in the side of my car and punched the button, and up come $3.96. And I had to look twice, and then I looked at the marquee to see if the pump maybe was wrong, but the marquee was even over $4. I couldn't believe it, how quickly it had jumped. But what I'm saying is such things in line to happen involve the U.S.'s and the world's financial systems and the availability and the cost of basic food, shelter, fuel, and medical care. other important things that will come at some point and change overnight our way of life are our beloved liberties and freedoms, such as free speech and the ability to freely assemble like we're doing here this morning. That will come to an end. The ability to worship as we do, not fear armed people coming in and arresting us, and taking our Bibles away and separating our families. Our very right to bear arms in this country, year after year, is more and more threatened, and those rights are stripped away, little by little. And of course, at some point, our ability to travel freely, even across town, will only be by the approval of the local military authority when these events happen. So I say, among other important things that at some point will change overnight are our beloved liberties and freedoms, as well as our physical safety and security resulting from earth changes, national and local unrest, and even foreign troops on U.S. soil. As to how imminent are these events? How close are they? When might they happen? I say the time is now. Now being defined as probably before the end of this year, but certainly before 2012 sees most of that year expend. Nearly all critical elements or the conditions that need to be in place for what I've just described in broad terms, nearly all critical elements or conditions are even now in place or in the final days, quite literally in the final days, of being arranged. Most of this is planned. It's intentional. But you're no stranger to these types of remarks coming from me, because for the last 10 years and more, we have urged you and our own family members to make physical preparations for the shocking events that would affect each one of us and until the Lord Jesus returns. Because once they begin, they won't go over, they won't ever change, they won't get better, they'll go from bad to worse until Jesus comes. The reason for such great trouble is because King Yeshua is coming soon. So what is this particular message about today? It is about a more important warning and exhortation than even our pleadings have been over the years for you to get ready in the natural for trouble. Something even more important than that. You've heard glimpses of it, as you've heard Brother Noel share this morning. You've heard glimpses of it as Brother Jerry said things and Brother Andrew said things. Today's cry is that you and I must each individually take steps to be ready spiritually for the great tribulation. Each of us need to prepare ourselves spiritually. This is the essence of what I'm going to tell you today, both through a few comments, but mostly by the Word. This is the essence of my message. It is time to draw nigh to God. For the times just ahead are life-threatening. And for those not close to the Lord, they will cause fearfulness to the extreme. Let me say it again. It is time to draw nigh to God as a person. It is time to draw nigh to God, for the times just ahead are life-threatening. And for those not close to the Lord, they will cause fearfulness to the extreme. How extreme? Jesus told us, He said in Luke chapter 21, verse 25, "And there shall be signs in the sun." They are happening right now. "There shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. This last week there was a earthquake in the Aleutian Islands. That's part of our country up in Alaska. According to the U.S. Geological Survey's own site, it was a 7.1. That's a pretty good size earthquake. They had tsunami warnings going out, and as you know from what's happened in the last several years, a tsunami can be several feet high, many feet high, and destroy all life and structures for many feet off the coast, including going in several miles, depending on how big it is. They had a tsunami warning this week up in certain areas, and even though the waves that come in were just a little more than a foot or so above normal, this is one example of the sea and the waves roaring. Another would be the result of great hurricanes or typhoons crashing into seashores. We're seeing that again and accelerating. Verse 26, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And so the name of today's message is, draw nigh to God, for the time is short. That means get close to God. Throughout each week, I read a lot of stuff. Things from each day's major human interest stories from around the world to each day's earthquake reports. From broad-level financial news to religious happenings. From survival preparations to what believers around the world report that they are hearing from God. For many years, believers were, and I emphasize they were, meaning past tense, for many years, believers were reporting dreams and visions that had the general theme of this. This was what the general theme was in these dreams and visions. The Lord was saying, repent of your sins, my people, and come out of the world, for judgment is drawing nigh. That's been the theme of what I've read over the years, in recent years. And I say the theme because the individual prophecies, the individual dreams, the individual visions I would look at and consider and think about, but over the years as I have read these various things, I can look back and see that the theme of all of these was this, what I just said. That was the message of God through whatever a believer here or there in this country and that country were dreaming, or what the Lord was giving them in the way of a sense of His message to the Christian population of the world. And that was, again, repent of your sins, my people, and come out of the world, for judgment is drawing near. That was the theme. I say that was the theme. In other words, some very bad times are coming because of sin and wickedness and the unfolding plans of the devil. The Holy Spirit's message has been that as Christians, we need to examine ourselves, our practices, and our motives against God's Word and the holiness of God. Compare what I just said of your life to God's Word and His holiness. And to separate ourselves from sin and all unclean things. That's your job. That's my job. If we do separate ourselves from sin and all unclean things, if we do, there will be needed provisions and the blessing of God upon your life. If we do not, there would be painful loss and fear and even premature death for many Christians. Let me define premature death. You see, there is a time that God has planned If all goes according to how He would like your life to be and to be lived out on earth, there is a time according to God's plan where He's going to call you home on His time schedule. But because of foolishness among Christians, because of bad choices, because of sin in their life, a lot of Christians die before their time. And God will let that happen because of our sin, because of our foolishness. That's what I call premature death. You die before the Lord would have had you die, but you die because of foolishness in your life. Something happens, something comes up. You let something transpire that cost you your life long before God would have called your name according to His plan. And so I say, if we do compare our lives and to those things that we are a part of, those things we practice, those things we're involved in day by day, week after week, if we compare our lives to the Word of God and the holiness of God, and then based on what we see, separate ourselves from those things that we know are sinful and unclean, there will be blessing and the provision of God during these last days. But if we don't, there will be pain, there will be loss, there will be fear, and we'll probably die before the Lord would have us to die. And let me tell you, if you die before the Lord would have you to pass away, whatever time you have lost because of sin or foolishness is time that you have not served, been able to serve God according to His purposes, and there will be some degree of consequence in your rewards and in the glory that you would share with Jesus because you didn't get to live out fully His plan for your life. Now, let me share with you a couple of places that was put on my heart in light of what I've just told you. The message had been, repent of your sins, my people, and come out of the world, for judgment is drawing near. Let me read to you Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness. That means plant righteousness in your life. Sow to yourselves in righteousness. Reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, the hardness of your hearts. For it is time to seek the Lord, till He come and rain righteousness upon you. Verse 13. Ye have plowed wickedness. Ye have reaped iniquity. Ye have eaten the fruit of lies, because thou didst trust in thy way, in the multitude of thy mighty men. This is so parallel to Isaiah chapter 1, verses 2 to 20. Therefore shall a tumult arise among thy people, and all thy fortresses, those things you trusted in, those things you hid behind, and all thy fortresses shall be spoiled, as Shalman spoiled Beth Arbel. In the day of battle, the mother was dashed in pieces upon her children. So shall Bethel do unto you because of your great wickedness. In a morning shall the king of Israel utterly be cut off. I believe that speaks to how quickly it would happen unexpectedly in this particular passage and prophecy. Just overnight, things would happen and the king would be cut off. I take your attention to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Here Paul is rebuking the church at Corinth for some really foolish ways. They would gather together and have a love feast of sorts. The rich people would bring all their fine food and wine, and they'd sit off to themselves and lavish themselves upon the great food that they had brought and even get drunk there in a church environment. And the poor people, the poor brothers and sisters would come. Some couldn't even bring food because they didn't have any or have enough. And others would bring just a pittance of things. And they would be excluded from the rich brothers and sisters that had great food. And there would be pockets of people around the meeting area. And some would be just having a grand old time and even getting kind of snockered. And the poor Christians would be sitting over to the side just eating their bread and sipping maybe a little cheap grape juice or something. And then they would get together and they'd have communion. Pat each other on the back and say, praise the Lord, isn't it good to be saved, brother? And Paul rebukes them in this passage for being so thoughtless. 1 Corinthians 11:23, "For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as often as ye drink it, in remembrance of me." Verse 26, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show," that means declare, proclaim, celebrate, perhaps, "ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." Man, that is a powerful statement. "But let a man examine himself," he's talking about a Christian here, "let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Look what this next verse says. "Because of that, this happens. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." That means they die prematurely. They die before they should have. "For if we believers, if we would judge ourselves," be critical of yourself, examine yourself, separate yourself from those things that are sin and entanglements of the world, "for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the Lord." Amen. I report to you today that the theme of these Christian dreams and visions that I mentioned has dramatically changed in the last 6 to 9 months. I've read these for years and years and years. And what I said previously was what the Spirit of the Lord was saying to the church. But I have noticed in the last 6 to 9 months, especially more recently, the last 6 to 12 weeks, the theme of visions and dreams has changed. That's what I want to talk to you about in this message today for just a few minutes more. Now, today, recently, now the Spirit of God is saying this. You need to hear this. You need to give me both ears. And if you need to, so it doesn't go in one ear and out the other, if you've got that kind of a problem, stick one finger in one ear, so it goes in and stays there for a while. This, dear brothers and sisters, is what the Spirit of God is saying to you and I, the church, today. Judgment has begun. But is still mild for just a very short time longer. There is no escaping the great trouble in the way that you have been falsely taught as a pre-trib rapture teaching. But you, my people, will go through very great trouble before I come for you. I have instructed some of you, though not all, to make physical preparations for the purposes of sharing with others that I will send to you during the trouble. But to all of you, I am now saying this: prepare spiritually in order that you, each one of you, may endure to the end. Most of you are not ready, but judgment is no longer delayed. You must come to know me yourself. Know me and learn now what my word says of my ways, of my power, and of my promises. It is the word of God that will be your mainstay, that means chief support. It is the word that will be your mainstay through the calamities ahead. Though you will need food and water and shelter, you will need to know and trust my word even more than you need these things. Come close to me. Closer than you have ever been before, and closer than you ever thought was possible. The only sure thing for what lies ahead is me. Come close and do not delay even one more day. That's why our message is called Draw Nigh to God, for the time is short. Nothing has stood out so much in all of these things that believers are hearing from God about all around the globe. Nothing has stood out so much as the very great need to be students of the Word of God. That is what's going to help us live to the day that He calls our name and we go home. Whether that's sooner or later or at the rapture, nothing will help us to endure to the end better than knowing the Word of God for ourselves and getting close to the Lord. Let me read some scriptures that I hope will grab your heart. Psalm 105, verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people. Sing unto Him, sing psalms unto Him. Talk ye of all His wondrous works, glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face evermore. Remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. O ye seed of Abraham, His servant, ye children of Jacob, His chosen, He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He hath remembered His covenant forever, the word which He commanded to 1,000 generations, which covenant He made with Abraham, and His oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, Unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. When they were but a few men in number, yea, very few, and strangers in it, when they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, He suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, He reproved kings for their sakes, saying, Touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. What a great encouraging word that is for us in these last days. James chapter 4. We're familiar with it. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Speaking to Christians. Come they not hence, even of your lusts? That's a word that means passions. That war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because you ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? Now let's jump to James chapter 5 in verse 5. Because it kind of snaps right into place here. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in the day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against the other, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Verse 16, confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from error, the error of his way, shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. Now go back to James 4, verse 6. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Verse 8, you need to draw a line under it, highlight it, and put neon around it. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Revelation chapter 22, starting in verse 6. And he said unto me, these things are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I saw John, and I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then he said unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. It seems many, let me stop for just a second before we finish this reading. It seems many are having a sense that we're about to see this next passage become a reality, in so much as something will change in the way God deals with humanity. In so much as it's possible saving grace would be rare, perhaps, and those that are still unsaved and wicked will stay that way. And those that are saved and seeking after God with their whole heart will be like the latter part of this passage reads. And so I share with you, we need to be praying for our family members because the time is growing short for them to be saved. Because it says, "For the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is holy, he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." And I turn your attention to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 and 3. "Wherefore, seeing we are also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses," he's just gotten done, he's just finished giving us the hall of faith rendering in Hebrews chapter 11, those that lived by faith, the heroes of our faith. He speaks of those when he says, "Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses," and this is for you and I, "let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." You drop out of the race. Let me finish this up in just a few minutes. What, in light of what I've been saying, in light of what the Spirit of God is saying now to us, what must we do? What steps should we begin to take or reinforce if we're already doing some of them? What steps should we begin or reinforce beginning this very Sabbath to rightly and reverently respond to the urgings and the warnings we now discern are from the Spirit of God? What shall we do? Let me give you some ideas of things that we need to be doing as individuals. Imagine, if you will, before I give you this list, imagine, if you will, there is somebody that you've met and you like them and you'd like to get to know them. You'd like to be a good friend and them to be a good friend to you. You'd really like to get close to this person. Whatever you would do that it's right and just and holy and good to cause a friendship with that person to flourish and to prosper, whatever you would need to do, maybe even sacrifice, to become best friends with this person, that's what you need to do for the Lord. Because He is to be our truest and best friend, and wants to be more than you know. What should we do? Let's keep this in mind. Repentance in your life and mine must be accomplished. Repentance must be accomplished. Get clean and stay clean of sin in your life. Stop sinning. Stay clean. The next thing is identify. Look around. Identify. And begin to step away from the things of this world that are idols and distractions for you. And there's lots of them out there. The television. Several ways of entertainment. Maybe there's some relationships that are not good for you. Maybe it's being indebted to the things of the world, quite literally. Maybe it's such something as eating too much or sleeping too much. Those are all times that you could redirect toward your new friend, he that wishes to be close to you. Here's another one. Evaluate all aspects of your personal life and ask yourself, are they helpful to me for what lies ahead? Or is it a weight or a burden or something that will distract me or slow me down? I said repentance must be accomplished. Get clean and stay clean of your sin. I said identify and begin to step away from the things of this world that are your idols and distractions. I said evaluate all aspects of your personal life. Are they helpful for what lies ahead? Here is one that is very important. Read and study the Word of God every day from now on. And of course, that needs to be the King James Version, Holy Bible. I can't tell you how important that particular one is for your staying power, for what's ahead, knowing the Word of God. Another one is, of course, do not forsake the assembling together with the saints. If we have the doors open and you can be here, whether it's for our Bible study or our prayer time and our Sabbath meetings or anything else. And when the real trouble begins, this building will be open and available pretty much 24 hours a day. Forsake not being with the brothers and sisters when you can be. Pray, Paul says, without ceasing. Pray daily and throughout the day. Yes, have a formal time of prayer. Mine is best early in the morning. Yours may be best later. But have a formal time of prayer, of course, but breathe your prayers throughout the day when there's an opportunity. Asking the Lord for discernment for you, for your family, for us, for the church, for guidance. Pray for your unsaved friends and loved ones. Ask for wisdom. Ask for understanding. Ask the Lord to provide you what you need. Give us this day our daily bread. And while you're praying, take time to worship the Lord. And as you do, you'll find your love for God, your new best friend, growing more and more. We're told throughout the Bible that we need to learn to wait on God. Hard thing for us to do in this day and age. We're a microwave popcorn society. Oh God, we pray about it and we expect answers at least in the next 24 hours. And if it doesn't come, we go and work it out ourselves. Usually with the credit card or some other way. Learn to wait on God. It says in one of the Psalms, be still and know that I am God. We need to learn to be still. And even sometimes in our formal prayer time. Sometimes we talk so much we can't hear that He's trying to talk to us. Take time to be still in His presence. Get filled and stay full of the Holy Spirit. And also pray in tongues regularly. I have noticed an increase in the amount of praying in tongues that I've been doing in recent weeks. You should find the same in yours if you're willing to submit to the Holy Spirit and let Him do that. Get filled and stay full of the Spirit and also pray in tongues frequently. Resist evil and temptations. There's a lot of them out there, especially for our young people. Resist evil and temptations. Begin to memorize where you can. And quote the Word of God in conversation. Yes, even with your friends. Well, you know the Bible says. You know it's written. And I'll tell you, when the devil comes, you certainly want to quote the Word to him rightly. Not like Eve did. She quoted the word and added a few things and changed a few things, and he knew he'd had her. You need to know the word of God and quote it to the devil. It is written, devil. And he'll turn and run. Begin to memorize and quote the word of God in conversation, in prayer, and in spiritual warfare especially. The last two, not necessarily in any order of priority, walk in love and in forgiveness. Do not hold unforgiveness toward anyone. Did you hear me? Do not hold unforgiveness toward anyone. Even if the conflict rages on, you must be full of love and forgiveness. Walk in love and forgiveness and be purified by the things that you will suffer. And the last one is, of course, as we have trained you, be ready to help others and not just yourself by the provisions, the things you have set aside. Be ready to help others or you'll find them full of bugs and the water contaminated. If it's all for you, you'll discover what you've set aside just for you, two, you and you four only, or six or however many there are in your home. It may not be what you hoped it would be, but if we take those things and we're dedicated to sharing them with others that the Lord would send our way, we will be blessed in our coming and in our going. Let me say these again, please. Repentance must be accomplished. Get clean and stay clean of sin in your life. Identify and begin to step away from the things of this world that are your idols and distractions. Evaluate all aspects of your personal life and ask yourself, are they helpful for what lies ahead? Read and study the Word of God daily from now on. And make sure you have the right translation. Do not forsake the assembling together with the saints. Pray daily and throughout the day, and also worship the Lord, and you'll find your love for God growing exponentially. And yes, by the way, fasting does have its place when you can do it, whether it's a meal, a day, or more. Learn to wait on the Lord and be still. Get filled and stay full of the Spirit and also pray in tongues frequently. Jude teaches us that it builds ourselves up by praying in the Holy Ghost. Resist evil and temptations. Begin to memorize and quote the Word of God in conversation, in prayer, in spiritual warfare. Walk in love and forgiveness and be purified by the things that you will suffer. Be ready to help others and not just yourself by your provisions. And I read in closing, Matthew 11, verse 20. Then began Jesus to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. Verse 25, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Verse 27, all things are delivered unto me and of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Dear ones, draw nigh to God, for the time is short. Amen. Father, we thank you for the Spirit of God that has been busy throughout the world, urging the brothers and sisters to draw close to you. Because the time that we have read about for so long is here. It's not almost here. It's here. It's just beginning, and so it doesn't feel too much worse than the way things used to be just a few years ago, but it's here, and it's going to get much worse. In fact, it will shock us one day when we see how quickly things just unravel and fall apart. But Lord, if we are students of your word, and we're practicers of prayer, Lord, we shall see these things and will not fear like the rest of the population of the world will. They have no way not to, except by you. We shall be full of faith and trusting you and about the business of the Father when we see these things happen. And so, Lord, I ask that you help each of us, including myself, to draw close to you. You just have us. We are safely in your embrace. Help us, Father, by your word and your spirit, to become that close to God that we are enveloped by the strength of his arms, the mightiness of his hands. For these days ahead, I pray. In Jesus' name, Lord, would you keep your hand upon us and our families? Help us, Lord, to live for Jesus every day. I pray. Lord, help us to be wise and discerning in these days ahead, I pray. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Yeshua, amen.
Listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moreshoreword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moreshoreword.com. That's www.moreshoreword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus.